bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Gamer Show on the British Tech Network. I'm here, as always, with my panel of sorts, with one extra. But first of all, we'll start by introducing Mr. Sam Whiteley.
Good evening! Cha-cha-cha-cha.
How's your week been, Sam?
Pretty fantastically, wonderfully dull.
All right, okay. Just like every other week in Sam's world, yeah. Okay. Cheers, how are you?
Another day of shifting off the mortal coil, and I have a toenail falling off.
Really?
Nice, yeah. Nice.
How?
Playing football. I must have just too much toe bashing.
Okay. And we are joined by a guest this week, Chris Cameron. How are you this afternoon, Chris?
I am very good. Very good. Thank you very much.
Good, good. You're joining us from the wonderful world of Glasgow.
I'm joining from Las Vegas, yes, that's
Las Vegas,
correct.
Indeed. And you come in from a podcast that's been going much longer than ours and probably substantially more professional than ours. Do you want to just plug that quickly?
I've listened to it.
I am one half of a curry blogging duo called Champion the Tramp, and our website is Champion the Tramp Glasgow of Curry. So if you're up for curry in Glasgow, go and check it out.
You've got there, Chris. Well done.
You got a couple of reviews in Edinburgh ones as well, so it's not just for West Coasters. Is that right?
Yeah. We spent some time in Edinburgh in August. We've got a couple of Edinburgh reviews. And also, we sort of cover curry news from all over the world, really.
Cool. Very good. So, we will fire straight on in to, first of all, we have another review this week. It's not quite as uncomfortable for me, considering the last one was asking for my wife's underwear. But this week... It's from.
She mails them it all the time, anyway.
Well, that's true. That's true. She has a website. It's by Aidan Beaumont. 24th of October, you put this up, and it's a 5-star review just titled Brilliant, with. I think it's. It's got many eyes. The review is, in Tim Cook's words, it is brilliant.
Into?
Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple.
You went Tim Cook.
Yes, that's his Sunday name.
All right, yeah. Okay. Tim Cook.
Tim Cook's words, it is brilliant. Lol. I think you get marked down there, Adam. Sorry, Aidan, for using the words "lol" in a review for us. But thanks all the same. Really appreciate it. Anybody got anything else to add?
Cheers.
Yeah, there you go.
It's better than nothing, I suppose.
Better than a boot in the bars.
Cool. Okay, anyway, right. Okay, we're going to rush right on into the news. I actually bothered to read all the news stuff that Chiz and Sam put up this week. Normally, I just read my own stuff and ignore theirs because it's irrelevant.
It's never obvious.
So, first of all, Dead Space 3 co-op information has been released. This was you, Chiz, that put this up. You reckon it looks pretty cool?
Well, after E3, what they showed off of Dead Space 3, where it looked more like it was Gears of War, some more co-op information has come about and it's looking a lot more interesting, whereas it seems a bit more, rather than the standard, it's two people fighting through, which it's got that, because you're playing as Isaac and another guy, and the whole point in Dead Space is it's like a mental sort of headache of what's going on up horror. There's bits where you could be both walking down the same area, but one character will see some things and the other guy won't because it's all part of their imagination.
Ah.
And apparently there's a cool bit in the demo that got shown off where one guy was fighting, it was demons in his head. Well, the other guy, all he saw was him crouching in the corner just going while he was protecting him from real demons. And I thought, that's actually quite a cool little thing. It'd be interesting if they take that a step more.
Yeah. I think it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. I've enjoyed the first two, so hopefully the third one's good as well.
I've never actually seen that stuff about the... Because that link that you put in the show notes didn't work, so I tried to Google to try and find something about the co-op information. I couldn't find anything. But I did find a bunch of videos on YouTube, and it did just scream of Gears of War to me without seeing that whole co-op thing.
So hopefully... I'm hoping it was just more of like what they were showing... what a lot of games did... It was E3, just showed all the action without any real sort of substance and change it. And now, when more information is coming out of the game, you're going, oh, right, it's looking better now. They're just threw all the gore and stuff. It was E3 to get all the dumb people involved. But hopefully, I enjoyed the first two, so hopefully this one's quite as well. I wouldn't say it's the first two. I was hoping they were a bit more scary than what they were, but it's a very, it's a game where basically you can walk along, right, what's coming out, and then someone will jump out at you, and you will literally jump when you're playing the game, but not scared. You're just going to go, oh, yeah!
I don't know if that one we have to bleep or not. I'll check that
one. But it's fine. You might have to
bleep.
Well, oh, oh, it's descended into chaos already.
It always does.
Well, we're only 5 minutes in. We've got a lot of time.
Where's your little time, you think?
I deleted that app because remember the last time we did it,
you guys
decided to challenge it, and we had like about 15 swears through the whole show.
Break the beep machine.
At the end of it, it crashed and I lost all of them, so I had to sit and listen to it all over again anyway. So I've just started going back to the old way of writing down numbers.
We would normally swear, but it annoys you so much that we have to.
So that was Dead Space. The next piece of news clearly has gotten under Chizzy's skin. LucasArts. Lucasfilm has been sold to Disney in I think it was $4 billion or something like that, sold over to Disney. Apparently they've reported that they will realign LucasArts to focus on casual and mobile gaming. I'm not going to read the next line that Chiz has put in the show notes, so just imagine it's some profanity there. But then he goes on to say, though, LucasArts hasn't made a decent game in years anyway. Battlefield 3 probably was my last one. Battlefront 3, sorry.
Yeah,
it wasn't too bad.
Battlefront 2, 3 was in the making by,
was it Battlefront 2?
Free Radical, I think, but they went through. It was Battlefront 2 on the PS2, there's not been since it. I probably wasn't the last game, but that wasn't even made by, it was LucasArts.
Yeah, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, back on the PC, many, many moons ago.
Yeah. I never played that.
LucasArts made a ton of good games back in the day. I used to love all the point-and-click adventures. They're all classics.
Did Monkey Island as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Monkey Island, Loom, Maniac Mansion, the Indiana Jones games, classics.
Yeah, and then they're making a bit of a comeback now, so they can maybe actually try to get back into that.
Well,
one thing that I'd like to see come back, actually, maybe since it's been bought over, is Grim Fandango. But I think that's ready for a remake, actually.
That could be made really interesting. It was very funny the first time around.
They have confirmed, though, that they are going to continue creating Star Wars 1313. They said in a statement that for the time being, it's business as usual. But you know what I'm most excited about this deal? Where's My Water is made by Disney. So maybe they're going to release a Yoda version of Where's My Water. How incredible would that be?
Okay.
Unless he's moving with it stuff.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Sorry.
I'm gonna have to come in here and say that I'm with Paul and Where's My Water. It's an awesome game.
It is good fun, but do you see any point having
just
Yoda
the crocodile
in it?
To Yoda?
Well, the Perry version was really good, and that was essentially the same.
No, Chris has vetoed you. The guest is always right.
Okay, moving on.
Although I think it's a good thing that maybe that the films are out, are being clawed out of George Lucas's half-dead hands.
Absolutely. George Lucas basically is a bogeyman now. He's a destroyer of children's dreams.
I think it's like it actually worked in the past when he was like when he was restricted to use what he had at his disposal, which made him actually think right. I might actually write a decent story here. But now he's like, I could do anything I want. I've got all the technology. So he went and did what he wanted, which ended up being horrific.
Next one on EA disappointed by Medal of Honor Warfighter reviews. Electronic Arts has admitted that the critical responses to its latest Medal of Honor game fell below our expectations. CVG reported Gabu, which I'm assuming isn't another character from some Disney film, but I think it's somebody who's something to do with EA. Look at us on the pulse. I've done a lot of research here. So that the company was convinced that Warfighter was nevertheless a solid game, which we'll continue to support throughout the holiday. We take product quality very seriously. We are not happy with how Warfighter has been received.
Do you know what? It doesn't really matter what they say. If people have turned around and said, no, this is absolute rubbish.
Thank you.
Then what? You can't just go, well, we don't think it is.
Well, that's essentially
actually,
what
everyone
saying.
Has done, so shut up.
It also sounds like they've horribly started punishing their developers, like they're all getting... they're all kind of hanging by their toenails or something.
One more bad review and the toes come off.
Yes, Metacritic has judged you bad.
Yeah, it was Metacritic was around 50%. Yeah. But the thing was,
I still don't like Metacritic.
We've discussed
this. I don't agree. It's good place to see what everyone's making of the game, but I wouldn't judge a game by it.
No.
I hate how its developers are like. There was talk of they're going to work out it's a bonus payment to developers by what the rating they get on Metacritic, which I think is just wrong.
Having said that, how does a game get 50% on Metacritic but still debut at number one in the charts?
Because it's a first-person war shooter, and there's
and everybody buys it.
Oh, hang on. Very, very quickly, going back to what you just said. Although on a kind of moral level, we disapprove of being paid to give good reviews or something. If there are any developers out there that want to pay us to give good reviews for things, we're totally down with that.
Yes. Okay. Cool. The next thing that we're going to talk about. Sony's PlayStation 3 has experienced the biggest hack yet. Now, I put this link in the show notes, not having read the article, just having read the headline, which was exactly the problem. Mm-hmm. And this headline is clearly to get SEO grab, because when you actually read it, it's not that we've had another PlayStation 3 hack like a couple of years ago during the Portal 2 release. It's actually that people have hacked it so that you could put pirate and modded games on it.
Yeah.
Which is slightly less newsworthy. Well, so.
Which happens.
They don't like it, but everyone else does.
Clearly, CNET's SEO team are doing a good job, bravo.
I've read an article, the only thing, the big thing about this hack was, because this hack will apparently stop either every firmware software update that Sony do, this will not stop the hack. If you know, usually when they update that, you have to get hacked again, but apparently it's this hack.
It's like an Uber hack.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Wii did one where you just had to open. You had to, thank you. I just got thrown the head of Chiz's microphone. So
yes,
that's
I threw
handy.
My head at you.
I've forgotten where I was going with that. Wii. When you want to hack the Wii, you just have to kind of. There's like a ribbon cable that goes between the DVD drive and the motherboard of the Wii.
Oh. Are you supposed to tell people how to?
Everybody operate? Knows how to do this. It's like a little box that you put in.
Christoph, look at his face.
Well, I found out the other day that I can't actually plug my Wii into my new telly anyway because it's too old. So I don't care.
Oh. The Wii's too old to plug into your telly.
My TV's so new that it doesn't have standard fittings at the back, so I can't plug anything into it.
It doesn't have SCART or anything.
It doesn't have SCART. It's got HDMI, but the actual component leads are component plugs are smaller than normal ones, so I can't get the component cables in.
How annoying!
Huh.
Yeah.
All right, that's weird.
Obsolete technology already.
Well, the Wii gets replaced in less than a month now, so you'll just have to buy that.
Yeah.
For the baby.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
maybe we love it.
I was going to say, because it's Chris has got a child in the way, I thought a really good competition we could do is have listeners could, and for the next podcast, send in computer game names for his child, and Chris will name his child that, whoever the wins.
Yeah, I think
so
that's a good idea.
I would like to put in Dr. Robotnik.
I already tried to persuade him, Gis. I read a thing. Who is it that make Skyrim again? What are they called?
Bethesda.
They did a thing whereby if you named a child after any of their characters, they would give you free games for life.
No.
I was trying to persuade Chris to call it like Umgodlavong or something.
Wow. I'm throwing Balrog into the ring.
Balrog.
Balrog would be pretty good, yeah.
Balrog Cameron.
Vega! Vega Cameron!
Anyway, we've kind of deviated here a wee bit, so I'm going to pull it right back in again. The next thing is the Neo Geo X is available for pre-order.
Oh, good.
Do we care?
No.
Anybody?
Not really, but I did always want a Neo Geo AES.
Yeah.
But
they're crazy expensive.
Pointless now, really.
It was back in the day. What the?
Sorry, there was something. Sorry, I've not switched sounds off on my Skype connection. I will do that just while you continue talking.
I mean, back in the day, it was Neo Geo was crazy expensive. Anyway, it was like £500 back then when it was new or something.
The games were £199 each, new.
Wow. And that was like 1992, 93 or something like that it came out?
It was back in the 90s, eh?
It was maybe even later than that, actually. As in, like, 1990. I remember I was in early high school. That's how much I remember. Because a friend of mine in first year got a Neo Geo. He was the only person I know.
Awesome.
But I never got to play it because he was a weird kid and I never went around his house.
Pretentious.
He probably didn't even let you play it anyway because it was so expensive.
Well, that's true. That's true. 14. Are you just trying to go for a record here, Chase?
Yep.
Well, yeah. You've beaten it. I'm not going to say you've got a long way to go.
Chris.
So, I don't. From what we're saying here, none of us are going to be jumping out to pre-order this bad boy.
I don't think so. No.
Seems it'll be available in North and South America anyway, by the looks in the article.
Oh, well, that's lucky.
It was Neo Geo, which is really good for. It was 2D fighting games.
And Metal Slug.
Battle Slug, yeah.
Does it come out with Battle Slug? I'm just looking to see.
Metal Slug.
Yeah, it does.
I think it comes pre-loaded. Yeah.
I've never heard of Metal Slug.
Is it about, actually?
Is it about a Metal Slug?
Metal Slug they talk about is kind of like a tank, but they're sort of brilliant side-scrolling shooters, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are they not available to download in various things now anyway?
You'll be able to get them emulated.
Yeah, I mean, certainly for the PS3, I'm sure for the Xbox, you can just download all the old games anyway. Yeah. So why would you bother with a handheld?
Sorry, I've just got to quickly refill Sam's glass. He's requesting some more Coke. I did say Coke.
Should mention to the listeners what biscuits we have.
Oh yeah, we've got what have we got today, Sam? Listeners, yeah.
Crunchy cream.
Hi, Mum.
Ginger thing. And Jaffa cakes. Don't worry, Mum. I'm not going to eat too many.
Yeah, we have two today. And Chris, I believe you've got some biscuits at your end too.
Yeah, I've got some classic rich teas and custard creams.
Yeah, there we go.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Okay, on to the carrying on now.
It's pretty unprofessional today, I've noticed.
Yeah. It's a bit relaxed. We'll put it that way. It's a bit relaxed. So why...
usually professional?
I know, it's kind of maybe giving a bit too
worse
much.
Worse than normal.
So, Remember Me, do you remember when we talked about Remember Me?
No. Oh, yeah.
A couple of episodes ago, was it E3 one?
Yeah.
There was an episode after E3, actually.
Gamescom.
Game Informer have got a bit more information about the game, because I think when we reviewed it, we thought it looked quite nice, but the publisher, we'd never heard of before, so we had nothing to kind of base it on. Mm-hmm. But apparently Games Informer have got a bit more information about it. The video, which we'll put linked in the show notes, basically talks about the battle, or the fighting mechanic. Because it kind of looked a little bit button mashy, just kind of hammer away the buttons and it'll do all sorts of stuff. But apparently it has over 50,000 different combos you can set up in this game. Which, I mean, to be honest, I usually, with all these games, I find maybe two or three that work for me. Yeah. And then I go through the whole game using those two or three combos.
You're one of those people that plays Street Fighter and just does the leg sweep. Leg sweep.
Yeah. It works. And the thing is, when me and my brother used to play it, and we both used that tactic, and basically it was the person who could who could get the first leg sweep in as quick as possible.
Just bashing each other's toes in.
Well, no, because the way it worked is whoever pushed the button first then had the advantage, so that person won the round. So it was basically a race to see who could push the button first.
So basically, you're just taking the track and field tactics to the Street Fighter.
Yeah, it worked.
Poor show.
Anyway, so you set up, you've got these 50,000 different combos, which, and I couldn't quite find any anything written down, but it sounded like what they called them was pressons. Did you watch the video?
No, I totally forgot to read it. It was the only one I didn't check and I forgot to check.
I have no idea what's going on.
Anyway, so it looked really cool though, because there was lots of other different things that you could do. So there was this thing called a logic bomb. And basically what that was is if you were getting attacked by kind of four or five guys or guards around you, you could plant a logic bomb on one of them, which when it went off, it killed that guy, but also disabled all the shields in kind of a blast that went out. And it was one of these like combo things. There was also these kind of metal things that flew over the top of them that disrupted your combos when you were fighting with other people, and you could do kind of mind bolts, which disabled them temporarily, so you could do combos on other attackers. It looked really, really interesting. But I think when we spoke about it before, we said it just generally looked a little bit like a Uncharted type Devil May Cry type thing.
Was there anywhere extra on the bit where you could actually change people's memories and stuff?
Nah, they just kind of went back over what we'd already seen at GamesCon E3. I can't remember what it was.
Talking about this now.
Well done, sir.
No, I remember you talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Any input, Chris? Have you heard of it?
Do you know what? It's sort of ringing. The little fact, the 50,000 combo moves rings a bell, but I don't know anything about it. What is this?
It's a computer game. You're on a podcast, Chris.
What are you talking about? What is it? PS3, Xbox?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I'm not actually sure what it was. PC? I'm assuming it'll be PC. Xbox and PS3.
It'll be at least Xbox and PS3, possibly PC as well. I think it's set in the future, a futuristic Paris, where basically you play a character who's lost her memory. So, hey, that's new in computer games. And basically, she's able to hack into other people's memories and change what they remember to make them do things now, if you kind of get what I mean, which is quite a cool mechanic.
Yeah, it sounds great.
And it's got like a stealth and sort of the way the game plays normally, it looks like it's got a stealth mechanic to it and plays a bit like Uncharted for scaling the environment and stuff. But the combat, which Paul's just seen, was we didn't know too much about.
Yeah, so they got a little bit more information. But the video that they showed was quite cool. So in an effort to get, I think it was like a mayor or some kind of political candidate or something. And it wasn't that this girl basically got into his mind and made him think that he'd killed his wife. So when the police came to the door for to try and protect him, he actually killed himself thinking that he'd killed his wife and the police were coming to take him away. So you were able to actually change what he remembered of the interaction between him and his wife.
Unpleasant.
It was, but it was really cool.
That sounds cool, though.
Yeah, it looked really, really interesting.
It was quite interesting, anyway.
Yeah, the only downside is, well, it's not really a downside, it could actually be a positive thing, but the guys who made the game have absolutely no history. You know, this is a company that seems to have been set up just for this game.
Sega's publishing it, I think.
Yeah, no, it's not Sega.
It's Capcom, sorry.
Is it? Okay. It's a reasonably big publisher that's publishing it, but the actual guys who have made the game haven't done any games
there's
in the past.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. It might be okay.
It just means they're maybe attempting something fresh and new.
Yeah, which could be really, really cool. But then again, equally, it could be a giant
bug-ridden
ball of rubbish. But I think it looks really, really cool. Yeah. So far.
Does Paul normally speak this fast? It's just really struck me today that he's speaking like 100
speak really
miles
fast?
An hour.
Sorry.
It's like his Wednesday speech. He's nervous. Chris is here, I think.
I'm doing a on Friday. This is entirely unrelated to games, but it's related to me speaking too fast. I'm doing a talk thing at the Usability Professionals Association in London next on Friday, and everybody keeps coming up to me and going, "Are you all prepared for it?" and everything like that. And I'm going, "Yeah, I'm prepared." And they just slow down. Talk as if you've got like you've had a lobotomy or something, and everybody will understand what you're talking about.
So it's not just me, then?
No, it's awesome. Maybe I'm just speaking a lot faster. Anyway, finally in the news section...
Shh, relax.
Finally in the news section is just an image, which I know this doesn't really work for an audio podcast, but I thought it was pretty amazing. We'll put the link in the show notes. But basically, it's some mother or father has put together a Minecraft costume for their son, and it's pretty awesome. It's
a
Halloween costume.
Quite clever and well done.
Yeah. So we'll put the link in the show notes, but it's...
It hurts my eyes looking at it.
No, he's got access to the Google Docs, so he'll be able to see it as well. You see that, Chris?
Yeah, I'd actually seen that picture earlier in the week as well. Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
Really, really well done.
It's clever.
Yeah. It's a bit off the beaten track a little bit, but I saw someone who dressed their kids up as the main characters from Breaking Bad. That was pretty awesome.
But he actually shaved his kid's head.
Yeah. Or I think he had a bald hat thing on and a fake beard, but it was really well done. It was awesome.
Possibly.
Cool. Okay, that was the news section. Now on to the previews. Chiz, what are you looking forward to coming out in the near future? What have you written down?
I was going to go for Bioshock Infinite, then remembered Sam did that a couple of podcasts ago. The last one, I remember. But another one, after searching, was Aliens Colonial Marines. I don't think it's going to be quite as amazing as when it first announced what it was going to entail. It's not going to be quite as tactically... The tactical horror game I was hoping it was going to be, where you've got one guy welding doors, one guy's armed with just a gun and the motion detector. I think it's more of a case everyone's armed with what they want and do what they want in a co-op fashion. But I'm keeping an eye on it. Still interested in hopefully another good Aliens game, which we've not really had since AVP2.
Yeah, well, which I don't know. I don't know it's an Aliens game, but on that vein... I've not seen a good game like that since the original Predator game on the PC back in, like, 98, 97, something like that.
Predator, is that Aliens vs. Predator, the first one you mean as well? Or?
Was it Aliens vs. It was Aliens vs. Predator,
yeah,
it was, yeah.
AVP2 is Aliens vs. Predator 2, I said. That's what I mean, still.
I know. But the original one I actually preferred. Yeah. I didn't think much Aliens vs. Predator 2.
The second one had more of a story, but... Well, oops, sorry.
It was nice.
while the first one was harder and a bit more scary because the aliens did literally come from everywhere.
Ather was amazing. I love that game.
Because I remember, were you there? It was me, you, and Keith played through the Marine campaign AVP2. And the idea was when someone died or after each level, we changed player. Sam and Keith refused to play it and just punched over my shoulder as I screamed my way through this game, going, "Oh, God! It was just a pipe!"
It was a really good day. Good night. It was an awesome time.
Susan, most of the time, that first level, there was no aliens at all. It was just the most of the time they're picking up chains and giant insects.
Mm, it was so good.
There's one real good bit where we all absolutely crapped ourselves. Like, a pipe fell on the roof and a bunch of smoke, and the pipe gave off some steam, which made it sound like an alien, and the chain came down, and it literally looked like an alien at first, and I was spraying bullets everywhere. Well, Keith and Sam jumped under their bed.
Their bed? You make it sound like a gay couple who slept together.
Well,
not that I have anything against gay couples that sleep together.
Sam.
That crotchless onesie was something.
Sam, what are you looking forward to?
It's not so much looking forward to, it's more interested to see what they do with it. It's Dragon Age 3. Bought and paid for and played the first one.
Same here.
And to be honest, it just didn't...
It didn't pull you in?
No, it just failed.
I picked it up for cheap maybe a couple of years after it came out. I played it for a couple of hours, but I just couldn't get into it. I've still got it. I might go back to it someday. I'm not saying it's an awful game, but it just
did nothing for me.
Yeah, it's unlike it was Mass Effect, which is probably more is linear compared to it. Mm-hmm. It just didn't have the same sort of
didn't like any of the characters.
The voice acting and stuff just totally put me off it for a reason. I don't know if I'm just being
too I just didn't like any of the characters in it. So I avoided the second one, which I'll probably pick up now on the cheap, but I avoided the second one for that reason.
Played the demo of it, seemed a bit better.
And I just saw a couple of clips on this, and it looked quite funky, and I just wondered, maybe they can actually do something that will... maybe they'll do what I actually wanted them to do in the first place.
Yeah,
that's essentially it.
Okay. Chris, do you have anything you're looking forward to being released in the near future?
I don't think it's actually got a release date at all yet, but what has been interesting me is Prison Architect by Introversion. I don't know if you've played any of their games in the past. They did a great sort of... their first game was a sort of hacking game called Uplink, where you had to sort of assume the role of a hacker. Then they went on to do Darwinia, and then Defcon. Basically, Defcon kind of is like a video game version of... what was it called?
War Games.
War Games, exactly War Games, and basically they announced that they were doing a game which was seemed to be like a sort of bank robbery simulator called Subversion, where you kind of plotted out a bank job on a blueprint, and then it all got enacted out. Anyway, that game got canned, and out of the ashes of it, they announced that they've got a game called Prison Architect, which is a sort of top-down puzzly game as well. Which I think they released. Pre-alpha or an alpha, whatever, blah blah blah, pre-build recently that you could buy, but I haven't actually. I don't know when the dates come, when the release date is, but yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Cool,
all right. Very
awesome.
Cool. I am looking forward to it because this week it just finally got... there was a lot of hints and stuff like that about Grand Theft Auto 5, but this week it finally got announced that it's coming out in April 2013.
The day of April, I thought it was just spring, they've said.
I know, they confirmed yesterday at a press conference. Approves. I took some notes.
The man from Del Monte gave him
two thumbs right up. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah. It was yesterday at an earnings call or something like that. The Take-Two CEO announced that regard to the date of Grand Theft Auto 5, spring 2013, we'll make those announcements based on what we think is the best of the market title, and we're thrilled with the way that it's shaping up. And then it goes on to say that it's going to be April 2013, apparently. There's currently a trailer. If you go to rockstargames.com/V, meaning for 5, it's kind of a full screen trailer on there, which doesn't really tell you very much other than it appears to be based in a sort of idea around Hollywood.
San Andreas, it's back to the... so it's not like the whole facility. You mind Grand Theft Auto San Andreas? It's based on one of the cities in there and the surrounding area, but it's not the same.
Yeah, so it's like kind of California type.
Yeah, yeah.
Style.
It's a... I've totally forgotten the name of the city it's actually set in now, but
it's something wood.
It's Vinewood.
Vinewood.
No, but that's not
Bollywood.
The name of the city. Can you mind, Chris, what the actual city is?
I want to see it based in India.
It's one of the cities from San Andreas, but I don't remember what one it is.
Either that or Chris is frozen. No, he's okay.
Last Ventura.
I'm about the only person in the universe that doesn't like it that much.
Oh, I love
Grand Theft Auto. I don't mind a bit of a muck around about on it and just doing stuff and the odd mission. But if I play it for longer than, say, an hour and a half or something, just... I get bored really quickly.
There was a lot of hate for it as Grand Theft Auto 4, but
I loved it.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it's the only game I've ever played through more than twice. Because normally, I completed that game like four or five times comfortably.
It's also,
and my pigeons.
It's also like the only.
The pigeons that
he made the Excel spreadsheet to cover where exactly they were.
Yeah, we've already discussed this in the show. We don't need to go over it.
I don't know if I mentioned my middle brother, who's not really that much of a gamer, listened to this one Saturday morning while we were at work, and he said, "Oh, I listened to about 5-10 minutes of it." And then it got to Paul saying, I did this bit with the pigeons and I made an Excel spreadsheet and I turned it off because he sounded like a tit. He's charming, is my brother.
I'm really not sure about that one. I'm assuming that one's okay. But I'm going to make it over anyway.
What, tit?
I think tit's okay. Actually.
Tit's fine. Yeah, it's fine. I meant little bird, obviously. Booby.
So that looks quite cool, and I will definitely be pre-ordering that bad boy. So, cool. Okay, now moving on very, very quickly, and what have you been playing this week? Cheers.
I have been playing Sleeping Dogs, which is actually quite a cool game. Quite enjoyed it. I think Square Enix and whatnot have made Activision look stupid by dropping this game in the first place, and they probably didn't deserve the money from it anyway. But no, it's good. It's like a even more fun version. Well, it's like imagine it's Grand Theft Auto with Batman's fighting mechanic, and the cars actually handle a bit more fun, and you can drive, and you can jump from car to car, and the combat, the actual gunplay is a lot of good fun as well.
Cool. It is Grand Theft Auto. It's very Grand Theft Auto. Japanese, isn't it?
It's in Hong Kong. Right. But it's good. Its voice acting's pretty well. It's pretty well done. The story's not brilliant, but not bad. Not bad either. It's serviceable, and yeah, quite
serviceable.
Enjoyed. Yeah, it's a word. what's always quite good is game. If you can still play after complete the main story and you still want to go to it and to mess about, it's good for that. Although there's no flying, you can't actually. Fly around in anything.
Right.
It's because the driving mechanic and the gunplay and the combat is actually, well, a lot more fun than Grand Theft Auto, I would say. It's more instant jump in, cause mayhem, and away you go. And because you can, it's Wei Shen, who's the main character, can actually do proper sort of, it's martial arts, you can unlock more stuff. I found it quite funny just to basically terrorise AI pedestrians in it by grabbing a random granny, then breaking her back on like a railing. It's generally just being a when I compared that to stuff he did in Grand Theft Auto 4, which was fun as well, although it's the Euphoria engine where the AI actually attempts to save itself by grabbing onto things and trying to walk.
Right.
But it was so much fun standing at the top of a stairwell, wait until somebody walks back and then just walk into them and watch them stumble, attempt to save themselves and crumble all the way down the steps. I must have done that for hours in Grand Theft Auto before, and laugh my head off every single time. And that was the sort of fun I had with Sleeping Dogs, with basically doing these amazing, it's martial arts moves and finishing moves by throwing somebody through a window or putting their head through air vents, so it chops their head off or something like that, but doing it to random pedestrians who really don't deserve it.
I am never walking down a set of stairs in front of Chase ever again.
Yeah. All my characters in these sort of sandbox games are generally arseholes. Mm.
Chris, what have you been playing recently?
Playing it true to life.
Yeah.
I have been playing Hotline Miami this week. which is a sort of indie game that just came out last week, I think. It's top down, very, very retro, old school game.
It's like NES graphics or something, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, actually, it reminded me a lot of the original Grand Theft Auto, that sort of top down look, but also a game harking right back to from when I was at high school on the Amiga called Alien Breed. So top down, you can see your guy's head, shoulders, and you're just running around. And basically, the game, it's just an ultra-violent game where you're trying to work out what's happened to you. The storyline's pretty random, pretty sort of psychedelic. And you just have to, you get mystery calls on a phone in your apartment, and you get missions, just go out, start killing Russian mafia, basically. And there's kind of stealth elements to it. It's ultra hard in terms of one hit and you're dead, and the minute you're spotted, everyone swarms around you. But yeah, it's fantastic. Even though it's really hard, just you get killed over and over and over again, but it keeps you playing.
Cool.
It's usually a sign of a good game if it manages to do that.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, yeah, and all the details are fantastic. Soundtrack's amazing, graphics great, awesome. Highly recommended.
Cool. Very good. Sam, what have you been playing?
Sorry, and what's that available on?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I actually, it's PC only at the moment. It's not come out on the consoles. And I actually, I hardly ever play it on the PC, but I went and got my copy from Good Old Games, which I've got some stuff from them in the past, but I believe it's on Steam as well.
All right, cool.
Okay. What's that? I was just asking. Doesn't matter. I was doing something on the quiet while people were talking, but hey-ho.
You stop doing that.
And then you brought attention to it. Thank you very much. it was you that was mucking around that I was asking about. And I was playing XCOM Enemy Unknown. I had very little time this week, so I was playing XCOM Enemy Unknown demo, which actually I really quite enjoyed. Kind of you have a little group of guys, you're going in, you're investigating an alien crash scene, abduction, whatever, and you're moving each of you guys kind of step by step, and then putting them on kind of Overwatch type thing, so if they see anything they'll shoot stuff, and it's all about kind of covering each other's back, moving them in, using cover, just making sure that your guys don't die because you have very limited resources. I really quite enjoyed it. And then on a complete flip side to that, I also had a go at the Ravage demo, which is just insanity in a wasteland. America, Statue of Liberty's lying collapsed over in a very kind of Planet of the Apes style collapse on its side, poking up out of the sand, and you're raging around on like little quad bikes, shooting the hell out of people.
Cool.
Just insanity. Although, massive, massive problem with that. The quad bikes had no... There was no way of being able to steer it. I was using a mouse and keyboard because I do like my PC. But, yeah, it's just really, really bad handling.
Right.
There you go.
Cool.
Stuff.
I fully intended to give quite an extensive review of Assassin's Creed 3 this week. I'd pre-ordered it. It was supposed to arrive on Wednesday. We're recording this on Saturday, and it arrived this morning. So,
that's why I don't use Amazon for pre-orders.
Yeah. Amazon guaranteed me day release delivery. I am a Prime subscriber, so
they've never let me down once ever on anything.
They've let me down several times.
Yeah, so I will not be pre-ordering any further games from Amazon, and they will be getting a strongly worded email.
You'll get a voucher of it.
Yeah. because Assassin's Creed 3 didn't arrive till this morning, I didn't feel I had enough time to play it this morning to give it a decent review. So I'll talk about that in the next show. But I've been playing a plethora of games on iOS.
Was anyone hoping there that he just stopped talking? I was really hoping that was just going to be it, and then he started up again.
I'm going to take this moment to go down and grab the disc, which I forgot for the bargain basement.
Good plan.
So, very quickly, what I've been playing is...
Cheers was dancing.
A Crazy Taxi came out on iOS very recently, and it's actually a really good Move Over. I had it for the PlayStation 2, I think, originally. And, I mean, it's on a small screen. It's kind of touchscreen thing, controls and stuff like that, obviously. But it's quite interesting. And it has the Offspring soundtrack on it as well. So it's quite a good transfer. Other things I'll be playing, Letterpress came out this week as well, which is quite a cool little fun game. It's basically you have to find words.
I'm just having a look at your little list there. What is Run, Run, Roo?
Run, Run, Roo is very good. Essentially, what you are is you're a little kangaroo, and you've got to run along and jump over objects, but then it gets more complicated because sometimes you jump over and there's like an oil slick immediately behind it. So then when you hit the ground, it speeds up and you have to jump again. Then there's other ones where you jump and you sometimes get caught in this kind of flipped gravity where when you jump, you actually end up going on the ceiling and then you have to kind of remember to jump back down again. You jump and hold on. It's actually very, very good. I really enjoyed that. A lot of jumping. Good for the commute. I quite enjoyed sitting playing that on my phone in the train. So Run, Run, Roo.
And what is this? Space with Angry Birds.
Angry Birds Space. Yeah, that came out long ago. I think I've mentioned this on the show. It's about Angry Birds, but it's in space.
What were these Angry Birds?
I've always wondered about that. Is there some sort of gravity mechanic in that direction or something?
Yeah, so your guys are on one planet. Your birds are on one planet, and you fire it, and then the pigs are on another planet, and the gravity kind of pulls you in. But then when you get two planets quite close, kind of both of them are competing for gravity, so you kind of end up flying through the air on this kind of S shape as you get pulled into the different gravities and stuff like that. Ooh. It's quite cool. Ooh. Bad Piggies is basically the pigs from Angry Birds, where you have to build little devices, little cars and planes and helicopters and stuff like that for them to... just looks like he's fallen into a coma. I'll make this the last one. Bad Piggies is very good. Just came out a couple of weeks ago. And actually, finally, He-Man came out on iOS, and it's a fantastic little platformer game. Really, really simple, but He-Man for iOS. I think it's called He-Man Amazing Adventure Game or something.
Funnily
to that
enough, I actually saw there was a... I was flicking through upcoming releases on PC, and it's not for like a year and a half or something, but there was a He-Man Masters of the Universe game listed in there, which sadly I was quite excited about, but I didn't know enough about it to talk on the show.
Yeah, that's quite a cool little game. Anyway, so that's what I've been playing this week, and I will deliver a review of Assassin's Creed 3 next week, or next show I should say. So I just have to move on now just to thank our sponsor, UK2. They're absolutely fantastic. They've supported the British Tech Network for 3 years now, and they are pretty damn superb. If you head on over to the British Tech Network website and click on the sponsors link, you will see all the information there about UK2. So it's all their voucher codes and stuff like that. So the voucher codes allow you to get free DNS for 2 years, 20% off domain registration, 50% off your first month's use of a purchased VPN, £50 off to any gigabit server on any contract length, and a first free month when purchasing entry-level VPS. So what you do is if you get over at the sponsors link, click on UK2, fill your basket with all the stuff that you need, fantastic web services, everything like that, pop in the voucher codes at the end, and then check out, and you will get all the groovy awesomeness from UK2. We really, really appreciate UK2 sponsoring us. They've been sponsoring us for 3 years now, and they very recently signed up for another 2 years, so that's absolutely fantastic. Please use them. So that's UK2. Thank you very much.
They're great.
They are. Pretty fantastic. Pretty fantastic. Anyway, finally, we move on to everybody's favourite part of the show, the Bargain Basement Challenge.
Whose favourite part?
Well,
do we actually get people saying that they're good? Who says it's good?
Everybody who contacts us about the show generally says, yeah, Chiz is crap, Sam's mediocre. Bargain Basement is fantastic. Everybody loves Bargain Basement.
No, it's because they like to hear us suffer. Yeah, crap, that's basically it. Make each other go.
Right, okay.
This is the part I'm actually excited to listen to.
Hang on, Chris. Elston Baghdad Broadband's kind of messed you up.
Didn't catch that.
Do you want to repeat that?
No. Yeah, I was just going to say this is the bit I'm most excited about.
No, you're not allowed. It's not allowing you to make that statement, which I don't like. I'm pretty sure what Chris wants to say is that he wants to hear my review of Child of Eden, because Chris particularly enjoyed it. It's Chris's kind of game. It's a bit kind of shooty, flying, crazy. Go and take some acid and go and play a shooter, and that's pretty much what you end up with, I think. It was a bit mental, And yeah, I didn't enjoy it, but Chris did. And if he could tell you about it, he would.
So did that game not give you motion sickness, Chris?
No, it gave me motion sickness. Chris was fine with it.
Weirdly, it doesn't give me motion sickness. I was a big fan of Res, which was the game the guy who made that did on the Dreamcast, which is brilliant. Same vibe, crazy music, psychedelic. But it doesn't give me motion sickness.
Because through first-person shooters you start to feel that way, have you ever actually thrown up while playing a game?
I actually threw up on myself when I was playing Time Splitters 2. That was the last time I've ever played a first-person shooter properly.
when we're wetting the baby's head, I'm going to force you to play first-person shooters drunk.
It will be horrible.
It will be hilarious. We can do it at my house. Ellie will eat it.
You can just imagine playing it.
Ellie's his wife.
No, she's the love of my life.
It's like, you can just imagine playing it's Call of Duty or it's Halo online on chat with Chris. Then we go, all right, we flank him.
just leave me here. Go on without me.
Watch out, Paul. He's behind you.
Oh, dear. Right, okay, Chiz, what delight did you have this week?
I had... quite clearly a game that you must have gave Morgan years ago.
No, actually, if everybody had their own, I think it's Kirsty's Little Sisters.
Is it? Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
I was going to say Morgan would have rejected.
I had Sabrina the Teenage Craft.
I think you might have to edit that one, I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's fine.
At first, I didn't think it worked, because I thought, oh, it doesn't work with 64-bit system. After speaking to Sam this morning, oh, you got compatibility mode, you know? I went, damn, I forgot about that. And yeah, I managed to get it running, unfortunately. And it starts off where the usual thing, you have to put your name in, like, because you're like a teenage witch in progress. And I thought, right, what sort of name of character would suit someone who would want to go to a school full of teenage girls trying to be witches? So, Jimmy Savile in Foot and Rolls.
I really thought you were going to say my name.
So it was Jimmy Savile enrolled in Speed of Teenage Witch, and
allegedly,
and then it starts off. She's talking to her cat. She turns into a pumpkin. You have to find ingredients to turn her back. I looked around the house. They went, oh, and then switched it off basically, but just to prove that's what I named my character.
Nice.
Nice. We'll put that image in the show notes.
Yeah.
Very good. So that was Sabrina the Teenage Witch Adventures. I had Alpha Protocol, the espionage RPG. Now, we didn't mention this in the show last week because Chiz forgot to bring it and couldn't remember the name of it. But he dropped it off sometime in the last couple of weeks. I have to say, this was actually quite a good game.
That's just one of my own games.
All right. I quite enjoyed it, to be honest. The graphics weren't fantastic. No. A bit clunky. Some of the gameplay was a little bit clunky. But generally, the whole idea behind it was actually quite cool. You were stuck inside a lab. You had to escape from the lab. You got a tranquilizer gun. You had to shoot people with a tranquilizer gun. The mechanic of shooting was a little bit dodgy.
Yeah.
There was at least two or three times where I got headshots
and I
missed.
It's because you have to level up to get better at headshots and stuff like that.
So it was interesting. There's quite a nice little mechanic with the, like, when you're hacking into a computer, you basically have to find codes and put the codes in, and then you could like disable alarms, and it's like simple little puzzles. So to hack into a computer was essentially a word search that you had to do, but with a time limit, to disable the alarm systems. It was basically like a maze, like kind of. You had to kind of see the paths and then switch them off and things like that. Unlocking doors and things like that. I had quite a nice little mechanic for the puzzle stuff. It was a nice little game. To be honest, I think I'll probably play it a bit more now that I've got it. So.
It's good because, obviously, I think of being James Bond in RPG fashion. So you can you can level up and put what skills into what sort of spy you want to be. You can be really good at it's talking people into doing stuff for you, or be really good into shooting and blowing things up. And you get and the story branches off depending on if you decide to kill someone or not, or you make a certain choice, it'll branch out in a different fashion, so you can replay the game through several times.
Yeah,
I'm a bit disappointed that you got to play something that you actually quite enjoyed. I don't think anyone's ever said, it's quite a good game, I'll go back to that one. And I don't think they ever should.
I actually thought Paul wouldn't actually like it that much, because the reviews weren't that great for it, and it didn't sell well, and so it's like, unfortunately, it's not going to get a sequel, which I thought would be quite cool. If it did well, the sequel would have been even better, and actually been the game what it should have been.
Yeah,
because it wasn't great. There was a few things, I'd say, the graphics and the voice acting and stuff isn't terribly brilliant, but they could update everything because it is a bit, and the shoot mechanics are pretty dated.
If you like the idea behind the premise of a game, don't necessarily just listen to critics and stuff.
Yeah.
And don't just go to Metacritic or Meta. And look it on there. Just give stuff a shot, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we need to register the domain name Megacritic.
Yeah. I am the Megacritic. I critique the critics.
Is that not just us on top each other's shoulders to become Megacritic?
Megacritic, unite!
Right, Megacritic. Okay.
I'm not on the bottom.
I think it probably goes from Girth, actually, to be honest. cool. Okay, so this week, I have two games prepared for you. I'm going a little bit... Sam's is kind of general. I'm going a little bit off here with Chizzy's. And this is because I'm going to give...
This wasn't off.
I'm going to give you an iOS game this week.
All right.
And it's primarily because I bought it a couple of weeks ago, so I'm going to have to buy it again to send to you. But
can you do it as a gift?
Yeah, you can gift iOS apps. So I'm going to gift you an iOS app, and it's a game called Golf 2012.
Awesome.
Now, I don't want to spoil it too much for you,
uh-huh.
But the game is not golf.
Okay.
But the game is called... I bought it thinking it was going to be quite a nice little... Because I quite like little putter games, like golf games on the
crazy
iOS.
Golf ideas.
Crazy golf ideas. I bought it going, Golf 2012. It's got a golf ball in the front on a tee with grass.
Uh-huh.
But you're not playing golf in this game. So I'm going to let you find out the game.
Is it a fake game that just steals all my bank details?
You don't get them in iOS.
Huzzah!
Sam, actually, I've just realised that the game I've got you is nowhere near here. So two of you's kind of... pad for a
little talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
I would like to know, while we have a bit of a space here, I am currently growing a moustache for Movember, and if you haven't heard of it, one, you're an idiot, but two, it's a charity for men's cancer.
You can say that.
Can you?
Yeah.
Prostate cancer, is it?
Testicular prostate. It's just, things that you're all a bit worried about talking with people. I think it's an awesome thing, and I think guys should be. I was reading an article on their site.
We take each other's balls regularly.
And it was saying that testicular cancer is just as high as breast cancer, but women have all this support for breast cancer and blah blah blah, and no one ever thinks about testicular cancer, which is why these guys started it. So anyway, we're going to put the link, well, I'm going to force people to put the link on
we'll put the link in the show
notes. And don't donate very much, but donate, it's good. Cheers.
And can we also have a promise here to get a photo of your moustache at the end of the month?
I'm gonna try and update my. We'll put a link directly to my thing on Movember site, and I'm gonna try and I've been taking photos. So I'm gonna try and get a photo. Probably not every day because I'm lazy, but quite often. And you'll see the beauty that is my moustache by the end of this. It's going to be sexy.
Cool. Okay. So I'll put a link in the show notes. So you'll be able to go in there and give Sam all your money.
Well, it's not for me. It's for ball cancer.
Well, okay. Via Sam, give you all your money. Anyway, so thank you very much for that, Sam. As it transpires, megacritic.com is taken.
Damn it.
Megacritic.co.uk is available, so I'm going to buy it. And we'll put something there. I don't know
me. Just a picture of me with my beautiful moustache.
It's like, it's in the late 50s.
Oh, good. Oh, excellent.
Sam, have you. Yeah. Surf's Up.
Yeah, I thought it was that thing.
Books not included.
No, I have to admit, and I really hope the guy that sold me this on eBay is not listening, because basically...
That looks awesome.
I bought a game for Morgan on eBay, and it arrived with three other games inside the case, and that was one of them. So I got it for free. So there you go. Surf's up. So very good. So Sam will be...
Lesson for everyone. Check your boxes.
Yeah, before you sell stuff on eBay. That's cool. Okay, that's essentially our show.
No.
No, it's not. You've got your game.
Oh, have you got me a game? Oh, actually, I should mention... Look what I found. This morning I was cleaning up my office. I found my bargain. Remember, I couldn't remember what my bargain basement game was last week. It's Bus Simulator. And I found it this morning. So do you want me just to play that this week?
No. Well, we can save it for another time.
You can do both.
Actually, I can't because I can't play PC games anymore. So that's a bit of a bugger.
You'll need to find a way around that.
What do you mean?
Yeah, you can set something up, surely. But here's... Simulator Extremes.
I don't have any way to play PC games anymore.
Well, get that sorted.
So buy a laptop, is this what you're telling me?
Yeah, right. Somebody can loan you a laptop or something. Your dad will have one, is he not?
No, he's Mac as well. Cool, okay. Yes, so thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, Chris, for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. If you want to get in contact with us, please email thebritishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Sorry, I always say the in front of that. The email address is britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow the network on Twitter. It's at British Tech News. No, it's not anymore. I really should update these show notes. That's the old handle for the British Tech Network. The new Twitter
just
handle
don't
is...
listen to anything, Paul. Just read it. It's underneath the stuff. Just read it from there.
You're not winning the podcast host award.
So on Twitter, British Tech.
Oh yeah, did we tell them about that?
No, we're coming to that.
Oh, we're coming.
See, look at the order of the show notes. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm just at Paul Wheatley. Paul Whateley. Chris, what are you on Twitter?
I'm on there as at Bugenhagen, and I'll put that in the show notes for you.
Cool, okay, right. No problem. We've already discussed Sam's Movember challenge. Other thing that we just need to mention, we really, really appreciate your reviews in iTunes. We're getting about one a show just now, which is really cool. We will read them out. We absolutely love them. Really, really helps our ratings and stuff like that. So please keep on reviewing the show. Really, really love it.
I want some interesting questions as well. I want to see like people interacting and going, what do you think about this game? Go and play this.
Yep.
Or make Paul talk slower because interesting question, really fast or something.
A question we could put to them to mention the quote as well is like they could get folk to mention their worst game endings ever.
Yeah.
As well.
So yeah.
Like a game they loved but got to end and they went, that blows.
Cool. Okay, and finally, for some bizarre reason, this show and a couple of others on the network have been put forward for the European Podcast Awards, which is pretty awesome.
Insanity.
So the voting hasn't opened yet, but I think it'll be open by the next time this show comes along. I will tweet out as soon as we have access to get votes in. We'd really, really appreciate your support. I'm assuming it's somewhere. I'm kind of hoping it's not in the UK and we can maybe somehow blag a trip to somewhere else.
But podcasts on the British Network.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We might actually have to go somewhere.
Yeah, I know. So there's three other shows in the British Tech Network that have been nominated for it. It's The Big Show, The Mac Show and The Media Show.
Oh, we're better on them. We're fine.
We are not. They are all equally to us, and we love them all.
Nope, they suck. We rule.
As soon as we have the link for that, I will tweet it out. We'll mention it in the show next week. We'd really, really appreciate your support. So that's us. That's our show. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Ewan's got an amazing radio voice as well.
He's a much better host than Paul. Paul sucks. You're the horrible weak link in all this. Right,